Okay.
Call this meeting to order.
Okay, it end, what time is it?
4:02.
4:02, and the shade meeting is now called to order.
Okay. Well, we're here for a shade meeting, the Complaints Committee of the Ethics Commission. My name is Richard Brown, present here. Also present are Commissioners Hartley and Salem. Also present from the Ethics Office are Carla Miller and our Perry Orfordoff, as well as a representative from the General Counsel's Office, Cherry...
Pollock.
Pollock. All right, still getting used to the change. We're going to go ahead and handle the complaints that are coming to the Ethics Commission since the last time that we've met, and specifically, they've been designated as, they have case numbers, 2016-03 and then 2016-05. And so we'll go ahead and handle those kind of in order. I'll just designate by the named person in the complaint, and we'll kind of handle it from there. All right, the first of the complaints, we received a ethics complaint against Perry Stewart. And that's designated as 2016-03.
And this is Carla Miller. This afternoon, about an hour ago, I received a packet of information from Kerry Stewart, and I made a copy for each of you. And I have been able to review it, and I can give you a synopsis of some of it, if you'd like.
Yes, would you please?
Sure. We have this first complaint, 2016-03, and this has to do with a complaint, and I sent you my one-page recommendation on this already, and it all stems from an audit that was done, audit 779, having to do with the Sole Source Award back in 2007. And right, that was March 2007, and then a contract afterwards. And so it's fairly complex through the audit. And then Kerry Stewart has submitted a complete analysis of all of the events, which I think was quite interesting. What I didn't know about was when Kerry Stewart left Mayor Payton's administration, she went to General Counsel's office and said, here's where I'm going to be working. Would you give me a complete analysis of what I can and cannot do? And you have the opinion she got from General Counsel's office clearing her work, post-employment work with this company. So I didn't know that that had been done, but she did clear that through General Counsel's office. Nothing in that report changes my summary and recommendation, because what we have in this situation that I sent you is something that happened from 2007 to 2012. Our statute of limitations is a two-year statute of limitations. So we could get into the pros and cons and what happened and trace 10 years of history on this, and it's all interesting. But when, at the end of the day, it's my recommendation that we don't have jurisdiction because it's past the statute of limitations. Now, you probably would want to read all of this. I don't know how much you want to, you know, go back and forth on the facts when it doesn't matter really what the facts are at this point because it's past our two-year statute of limitations. But if you want to have time to read it, we could always maybe have a discussion now and then follow it up with a discussion right before the meeting on the 14th, like have another half an hour meeting or something. Yes. And that way you can, you know, go through all of this and really consider our discussion today and all of these new documents and then decide whether there's legal sufficiency, most importantly, whether the statute of limitations situation, how that plays out. But anyhow, Kirby and I have reviewed this, and we're happy to answer any questions and do whatever you would like to do with this one.
Okay. The question I would add, having
you all having had reviewed this, is there any question, or does it change the question as to the applicable dates that would trigger statute of limitations or not? It's the only issue that I think is really pertinent at this point.
No, I mean, it is what it is. The last activity on this was 2012. and we are in 2016, that's 4 years. And even if we get beyond the statute of limitations, I don't see any factual evidence that there was something that violated our ethics code, even if we did jump past the statute of limitations. I mean, we could pull that apart in more detail, but we still are 4 years past the last date that anything happened, 2012. So the statute of limitations is our first jurisdictional question, and nothing in all this paperwork that you've got changes that at all. It just makes it clearer.
Okay. Question number one is that, in your opinion, there's no statute of limitations ever ran. So even if we wanted to do something, we can't. And nothing that was sent over to you an hour ago that we just received can change that fact.
That's right.
Okay. Number two.
It's Commissioner Salem speaking.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. number two. Just obviously, Carrie Stewart or her attorney put a lot of effort into this response. Is there any, taking allegations as true, did she do anything that violated the ethics code at all?
Not that I can see.
And the reason why I asked that question is...
Not for the time period.
Pardon me?
Not for that time period. Because since this time, they have now said you can't do what she did.
No, that's not true. That's not what happened. When this came out, when the audit came out, there was an allegation that $400,000 should not have been used, the bond fund should not have been used in the way it was used, and so the mayor directed through a city council bill that the $400,000 again go back to the city council member's account.
We'll account for that. That actually is encapsulated in an additional complaint that is going to be before us this afternoon.
Right, and so, I mean, the money went back, but there was no...
What about employment? This is the issue I was talking about. Was in her employment going from being an employee with a contractor and then later going to work for that contractor?
You can do that. You can quit your employment with the city of Jacksonville and go and work with someone that's contracting with the city. What our ethics code prohibits is if you had any contractor in excess of $250,000, that's our ethics code. If you were the primary party organizing a $250,000 contract, then you quit and then you go and work for that company. That's what our ethics code prohibits, and you have a copy of that statute. Now, that's only good for 2 years, and then after the 2 years, we have no jurisdiction over that. But it has to be a contract that's over $250,000. And Carrie Stewart signed the initial document in 2007, which was for $85,000. So it doesn't come up to that $250,000. So, and you know, it was 5 years earlier. So
So that wouldn't necessarily be actionable, even if it fell within the time limitations. Which it doesn't. It sounds like it's outside the window of the of permissible, what'd you call it, secondary employment.
$250,000.
Post-employment.
Post-employment. Right, it's both outside the threshold of the
2 years.
2 years for post-employment and under the threshold
of the amounts.
That's the point I was driving at. I felt like at least she should deserve that, A, the statute of limitations appears to have run, so we can't do anything anyways. But even if we could, you didn't do anything wrong, it appears. I just think that she should deserve that finding at minimum, because, I mean, I know if I was accused of an ethical violation, I wouldn't want to the statute of limitations ran, so we can't do anything, but if we could, we would do this. I mean, I think she deserves some sort of a better response than that from us.
Well, and you know, that's an interesting thing, because I had talked with the chair about that. And so it's, do we do findings of fact when we don't have jurisdiction? And if we do, then we have to do a full investigation, and we have to call witnesses, and we have to have hearings, and we have to do probable cause, and we have to do it with legal standards. We can't just say, gosh, you know, we read this, and it seems like nothing happened here. I mean, I think the document's going to speak for itself, because when this meeting is over and it goes to the full commission, it then becomes a public record. And anybody who's interested can read the initial complaint, then they can read the response, they can read how General Counsel's office cleared Carrie Stewart to go into this employment.
This 2011
yes,
letter?
Yes, right. You know, and so when they read that, I think the facts speak for themselves.
Okay.
Now,
sure.
I understand what you're saying, because that was my first inclination, too. But do you,
I agree with you, yes.
Well, yeah. The last thing I want to do is waste resources. I wasn't trying to.
Right.
No, I
understand.
Do all that.
I just felt like if I was alleged to do something wrong, I would want them to say more than just, oh, we can't, even if you did something wrong, we can't look into the facts because the time limitations ran out. You did nothing wrong, period. But if we can't go to that extent because it would waste taxpayer money and there's no jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I guess the record could speak for itself in that respect.
And I understand what you're saying. And one of the things I wanted to do after I received this package is to summarize this package and then add it to my findings before we give it to the entire commission. And I want to put in that OGC cleared it. That it's really interesting to me that the... There's some interesting facts in there that I think have to be highlighted. I didn't highlight it in my summary and recommendation because I didn't have it then. So I think what I'm going to do between now and the 14th is just take some of those facts that I think are most pertinent and then add it to the recommendations and say, Ms. Stewart submitted this and this is significant for the following 4 points. I still have the same recommendation that, the statute of limitations bars us from going any further. And to be fair for all parties, we would have to have everyone come in and speak and get it all out on the table and trace 10 years of the procurement process. And truly, it would be time consuming. And maybe at the end of it, we could clear someone and everybody would say, well, why did you go to that process when you didn't have jurisdiction to begin with?
Correct.
So I think we would get...
I do agree on the jurisdiction process, because otherwise, you're right. If you want written findings of fact and conclusions of law, that evidence would have to be taken, witnesses have to be, court reporter has to be here, sworn statements have to be made. So I would definitely agree with Ms. Miller's recommendation that if the statute of limitations has run, there's no jurisdiction.
On the face of the complaint. If
you're
looking at the face
of the complaint,
we see that it doesn't fall under the statute of limitations, and we don't have jurisdiction, and unfortunately that kind of closes that complaint in terms of unless a complaint is submitted that has activity on its face that falls within mm-hmm. the statute of limitations. It's kind of like, almost a judicial review.
Yeah, sure.
If the court doesn't have jurisdiction, it never gets to the merits.
Yeah,
and we kind of act in that same
way. Are you even allowed to put in your report, Carla, what the facts are since we have no jurisdiction?
I can make whatever recommendations I want to make.
Okay.
You don't make any findings of facts, but I can put in, I've analyzed all the papers, and here's some things that I can pull from the papers.
Okay.
Yeah.
The bottom line is we don't have jurisdiction over this, but you can see that I made a recommendation because they're talking about the procurement process. And that's why I thought if the IG's office eyeballed it from the procurement office's standpoint, and is there any cross-check or any kind of thing that they can do, and maybe there isn't, but is that whole process solid? It probably is. Do you know what I mean? But if they took a look at it, they have a procurement specialist mm-hmm. in the IG's office. So they should really take a look at the City Council Auditor's report and take a look at how sole source contracts are awarded, and is there anything better we could be doing there? Not that anything wrong was done here, but could we be doing anything better?
Would you think of that as something done through the IG's office, or is that something that could be discussed as an issue before the full commission outside of the complaints committee?
Well, it could be. It could be. And we could work with the IG's office on it because if you've been on the commission long enough, you know that sole source contracts has come up over the years, like how tight can that procedure be?
Right.
And, you know, so we could discuss it. We could, and there should be a section in the ethics code on procurement ethics. And what kind of safeguards do we want to put into place? Or what kind of transparency do we want to put into place?
Okay.
Because I really think that, like, you know, when you first read the newspaper accounts of this, you kind of get the impression that the two people who had complaints filed against them were acting kind of on their own. You know, they're writing checks and, you know, kind of making... the contract and the purchase order had to go through like a couple of layers in the procurement department with committees, and then it goes up and it goes to the mayor's office to get signed. I mean, there's like a whole process that it went through, you know. So is that a perfect process? Maybe there could be something that could be done to tighten it up that we could look into.
Okay.
But I really think that since the IG's office has a specialist in that area.
Right.
And they sit in on all the procurement meetings, the PSEC meetings, and you know, they would be in a better position to take a look at it quickly and say, is there something that we need to be doing that would have prevented this from flaring up like it did?
Okay.
What could have been done so that this would have been, you know, a bit tighter?
Have they done that already because it was in the paper and got some publicity?
Not that I know of. We don't know. They wouldn't tell us if they were, but if we if we refer it to them, they can eyeball it, or we don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. That's just my recommendation, that there may be, if someone eyeballed this for 10 years and flipped through the whole procedure, they may say, you know what, if you had only, well, I'll tell you what, every one of these things that was approved was done in an open notice meeting.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're... What are we referring to them? If nothing wrong was done, we're telling them to look at something that obviously worked in this, but that potentially worked out correctly.
Obviously,
we can't go into the fines of the case,
right.
But
you have a complaining party who feels as if, you know, something untoward.
Yeah, but if he's wrong, he's wrong.
Right, right.
I don't want to waste someone's time to look at something that's actually working. That worked the way it was supposed to work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
One of the things people complain about a lot is the original contract was for $85,000 and then grew through amendments to that same contract to whatever the total was, $900,000. And that's always been because when the original one's approved, you don't ever go back through the same process to amend it as you did to get it approved in the beginning. So
that... And that, you're right, and that's why I had one thing that was brought to my attention years ago where the initial contract was under $100,000 and it grew to $1 million. And maybe that's all good and there's good reasons for that,
right.
But what kind of safeguards and what kind of processes do we have there? Not saying that anything was wrong with this,
right.
But in that growing of contracts, is there something we could be doing better? And maybe so it's a specific recommendation on that, or maybe there isn't. Maybe that's just the standard way that cities handle contracts. But I have seen that occur in other instances where people raise their eyebrows. Now, it could be completely fine, but are we not explaining it to citizens well enough?
Right.
Don't they understand this? I mean, are we not being transparent? Is there anything we could do better here? You know, and we could look into that. The Ethics Commission could look into that and ask questions about it or not. I'm just saying that I have seen that happen more than once. Have you?
Yes. No, many times.
Many times. And so I think the average citizen would say, what do you mean the initial contract's 85 and then how does it morph into a million? Like, how does that happen?
Well, that sounds like a legislative issue with the city council.
Some of it doesn't go to the city council, though. They don't go.
Mayor's budget review.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand that unless you've been through it. And the only reason I did is because I was with the sheriff's office and I had the air unit, which we had contracts that you would get something bid on. They bid it at $90,000, and the next thing you know, it's $250,000. Now, what do you do with that? You go back to mayor's budget review, and you get an increase.
Well, maybe
and that
it is just... standard thing.
And that budget goes to the city council.
If you have it in your budget, you don't have to go back to city council. Mayor's budget review can move the money.
Okay.
See, I just think that process probably is not well explained to people. And so when you read about it, that a contract went from this to this, it's going, oh my God, how'd that happen? It may be a very common thing. It may happen in 50% of all of our contracts. It happens a lot. There must be a good reason for that. Do you know what I mean? But I still think that analyzing that and what safeguards, what's our thinking process on that, if we don't understand it, if it hits me as kind of like, well, I don't understand how that happens, then, but it, that's divorced from this case because, right, you know.
Right. That is to say, falls outside the scope of our complaints committee.
No, it really, and it falls outside really the Ethics Commission when you think about it.
Right.
It really, let the IG, if they want to.
What was the other commission we met with?
True Commission.
True has looked at that a couple of times.
Have they?
Yeah, procurement. Now, they've tackled that, but I don't ever think they've ever finished it or came to any conclusion on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, Kirby and I can see if the True Commission has done anything on it. But again, like if one of the things, if you refer it to the IG's office, does that imply that there's something here that we need to refer it to the IG's office?
It sounds unclean. If you refer, I mean, just my opinion, if I hear something's been referred to IG, it makes it seem like something's not right.
And everything that I've been able to review in this complaint and the audit, it does not appear to me that anything was done outside of the procedures that we have established. There isn't anything that, like, I went, oh my gosh, you know, it shouldn't have been done this way. I haven't seen anything like that.
But that shouldn't be the impression, though. If you send something to the Inspector General's office, it's not just a ruling, has anything been done that's illegal?
No.
But can anything be done better?
Yeah.
Can it be improved upon? Can just the look of that whole thing be cleaned up to where people say, okay, we feel comfortable that's gone through this process and we're good with that?
You've got to trust your officials at some point. Like some of these things go through and they get approved. Like the mayor's budget review committee meetings are all public meetings. You know, they notice like what they're going to be discussing. Usually there isn't a big audience for them, but it's noticed, it's open to the public. They keep tape recordings of it, and they make some decisions on large amounts of money. If you take those later and pull them out, you go, oh my gosh, look at this contract. It was noticed. It doesn't go to city council a lot of times. Some of them do. Anyhow, that's like a policy thing. Like, what do you want to do with contracts like this? Do we want to get involved in those policy questions?
Okay. Well, so as it relates to complaint 2016-3, I guess is there what we're going to want, obviously, is the recommendation of the ethics office is set forth in the summary that it falls outside the statute of limitations, and that would be the recommendation made to the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as a committee, is there a motion as to what we present?
Yeah, and then at the next committee meeting, commission meeting, you'll have your revised statement that we will.
Including the response of the of Ms. Stewart.
Right. I'll summarize a few of those points, and then it's totally up to the whole commission on which way you want to go with it. Do you want to just say, look, it's outside of our statute of limitations, done deal, or do you want to refer to the IG to take a look at the general process, not implying that there was anything wrong with this one, but to take a look to say, is there anything we could do better with this to explain it to people?
Okay.
That's an option for you. Doesn't have to be an option. It's just what I recommended. But when I read all of the stuff, I may, you know, make a different recommendation.
Do we require a motion as to each one?
Okay. Well, motion is it? So, are we motion? Is it a motion to dismissing the complaint? Okay, so motion to dismiss the 2016-0.
No.
To recommend
to
the whole body.
Yeah.
A motion to recommend 2016-03.
Yes.
To dismiss for lack of jurisdiction.
It's legal sufficiency we're deciding now, and I guess if you don't meet the statute of limitations, it certainly isn't legally sufficient.
That's correct.
And there's no jurisdiction.
Right.
So okay. It's legally insufficient because it does not. The Ethics Commission does not have jurisdiction.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right.
And I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No opposed. All right. Make that recommendation to the body. All right. Let's move on to 2016-04. That's Ms. Greger.
Same discussion.
I think the issue, yeah, the discussion is the same. The issues are the same. As to the purported conduct taking place within the time frames.
There's no response. There's no response from
her. No response from her.
Okay.
She lives out of state now.
She was given notice of it, just like Ms. Toro.
Yeah.
Okay, so motion to recommend the entire commission, 2016-04, be dismissed for legal insufficiency as the commission does not have jurisdiction.
Is there a second?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, ayes have it. Make that recommendation also to the commission.
Kirby, I don't have the paperwork on 5.
You should.
Oh, here we go. Sorry.
Okay, and we also have 2016-05. That is a complaint naming Mayor Curry.
Where's my recommendation on this?
It's back there. It's the last page.
I just have the complaint.
It was all in the packet together.
I saw it.
You see?
I saw it in one of my.
I'm
yeah, it's in that packet that you have right there, Carla.
It was last page.
Oh, it's on the back of the sheet.
The very last page.
Mm-hmm. It's on the back of the sheet?
Yeah. It's like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. Kirby, it's like this.
No.
It's the page after that.
Oh, I don't have a page.
Yeah, you do. It's right there.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, gosh, here it is. Okay.
All right.
What's wrong with my papers here? Oh, Lord.
Yes, you did.
Okay, you know this is a slightly different complaint in that it make a complaint against Mayor Curry for the restorative action, I guess, that he took as it relates to the funding discrepancy.
That was approved by City Council.
That mm-hmm. is correct. And recommended by the auditor, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And then alleged to have violated ethics provisions that are not applicable
okay.
to the situation at hand.
We have the summary of the ethics office. Ms. Miller, if you want to clarify or elucidate it.
Yeah, I mean, the council auditor recommended that the administration do this. They immediately did it, and they got it approved by City Council. You know, I think it's an appropriate action. I don't see any possible violation of the ethics code on this one. So my recommendation was that it be dismissed as being legally insufficient.
Okay. Is there any discussion from the body on that point?
So I'll make a motion to recommend to the entire commission that 2016-06 is legally insufficient. It should be.
Oh, five, sorry. Yeah, it's five.
Okay, did I make the state of fire? Was it 5 then?
No.
Okay, 26. Motion
you
to
made
recommend.
That complaint that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Motion to recommend that 2016-05 be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction for as well as lack of legal sufficiency.
Legal sufficiency.
Second.
Secondly, by Commissioner Hartley, any discussion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right. Anybody opposed? No opposition? We'll make that recommendation that it be dismissed to the full body.
Okay, so on 3, 4, and 5, what I'm going to do post this meeting is I'm going to review this paperwork. I'm going to probably do an addendum to my recommendation that I'll get out to you prior to the meeting on the 14th. And then we'll send that whole packet to the entire commission, and you'll report to them on, okay. you know, what this committee did.
Okay. We're good.
All right. Now, Kirby, if you could just note the time, 29:18.
There's still another item on the agenda.
I know, but we have to cut this tape
right.
off.
This
we're gonna. We are commencing a discussion on a new case. So this is 29:32, and I'm going to stop the recorder and start it again when we start the new issue.